But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Tori, for reading to us. Every day this crisis seems to be developing with yet more challenge. We rise and fall on the tide of the news that crashes upon us. And sometimes, I don't know if it has been for you, but for me, it's been overwhelming at times. For some of us, these last few weeks have been perhaps the most stressful and fearful of our lives. Maybe the business that you've worked so hard for or worked so hard in may have come crashing down in a matter of days. You may be a boss, or you may be an employee. You may be on furlough, or you may have been putting people on furlough, or even worse, letting them go. Either way, it's highly stressful for us all. Hebe, my 24-year-old, is in Liverpool. She's a hairdresser, part of a small team of staff dependent on people coming into the shop. A month ago, things started drying up. And a week ago, they closed their doors. On Monday, she was put on furlough. On Friday, she was told that by her bosses that they couldn't afford to pay her, or they could only afford to pay her 50% of this month's salary. It's just not enough cash for the business in the business anymore. She hoped things will sort out, not just for her, but for the two guys who will be losing their business and for the others in the team struggling to pay the bill. There are some of us who have already been infected and have felt the wave of sickness that the virus causes when it crashes over us. My sister's been in bed for 2 weeks. First there was a cold, then a cough and a temperature, and then full-blown flu like she's never experienced before. Confined to her bedroom, Biano and the boys have been creeping around downstairs in lockdown. There'll be others of us who are still working to keep a business going, working to deliver services to people, working in the NHS or as a key worker, working in government or a charity, trying to offer help, maybe working harder than you've worked before, but almost certainly working in very different ways to the way that you used to even a week ago. Every day feels new. All of us are having to get used to being at home. For some of us, this is okay. Home is safe and good and spacious. For others, it's less good. It's cramped and hard work. And we're all different ages. Some of us are married, others single, others in family. And we all know how varied families can be. Not all of us enjoy easy relationships at home, and the additional stresses of homeschooling or spending so much time together can be hard. I think many parents have been thanking God for Joe Wicks, especially this week. Whether we live with others or on our own, these are deeply challenging times. It's almost impossible to overstate just how significant this epidemic is. Our government is responding in incredible ways, and I'm grateful for the blessing of living in this country at this time. Other nations we know don't have it so good. But we are increasingly aware just how massive this is for almost every aspect of our lives, of our finances, of our relationships, of our culture. Even the Pope says his prayers on his own now. And so inevitably, it's at these times like this, that our faith and our hope is deeply tested and refined. All of us are trying to work out how to cope with it all, but as Christians, as disciples, we're also working out how to live out our faith and hope in new ways. So these three short verses from Isaiah have so much to offer us. Let's look at them again together. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. So notice that the passage starts with God. He's speaking to us. And we are encouraged to reflect that he is the Lord, Yahweh, the creator, the one who formed you, O Israel. That's who's speaking to us. I don't know if you know, but Israel means God who struggles or contends. Israel has been a struggling nation and has had a struggling God with them all the way through. That's who's speaking to us. It's Yahweh, our contending God, our struggling God, fighting for us. And this struggling, fighting, contending God says, do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Do not fear is perhaps one of the most often repeated phrases or commands in the scripture. And so many verses start like that. So many stories contain those words, do not fear. Fear is a natural response to threat. It's a created response. It's a good thing, but it's also a powerful thing which can sometimes overwhelm us. It can crush us, or it could rob us of our life, of our sense of life. It can kill relationships. It can thwart our joy, crush our spirit, erode our concentration, whittle away our confidence. God is telling us here that he comes to us as contender to enable us to keep going, to keep walking, to keep moving forward, to keep hoping. And how does he impart his inner strength or resilience to us? He reminds us what he's done, who we are, and whom we belong. I have redeemed you, he says. I have called you by name. You are mine. Israel, God is not just contending for them. He's their savior, their redeemer. And the word redeemer is umbilically linked to the story of Exodus, when God acted on behalf of the powerless and enslaved and the enslaved and took on the powers and principalities of the world and set people free. And the leaders around the world, top medics and chief medical officers, have been talking about us being in a battle. We're at war, they say, against this virus. And we've had to take drastic steps to fight it. We're all in it together, all having to work out together how to fight and get through it. Interestingly, the Bible's not unfamiliar with that metaphor. Indeed, it's one of the core themes of Scripture. It's often one we forget. But the truth is that we live in a world under siege, a world at war. It's important for us, and it helps us to pray, and it helps us to act. We need to know that God is involved in this battle with us, fighting with us. And our prayers make a difference, not because they change God's mind, but that they change the spiritual balance of things and open up ways for God's life and power to be unleashed. I don't know if you're familiar with Romans 8, but it's a great passage to read. I really recommend it. Check it out this week. It has a couple of really remarkable lines in it. Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. That's who we're talking about, Christ Jesus, King Jesus, who died. More to that, who's raised to life, is at the right-hand side of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus praying with us and for us. And then Romans 8:26, a couple of verses before, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for. How true is that? But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. These two verses tell us that Jesus and the Spirit are caught up in prayer. Are they trying to change God's mind? Are they simply reading out lists of requests to him? No, they are praying in complete accordance with his will. They're involved in deep conversation and intercession, in communion, battling in prayer for us, for our lives, for our families, for our souls. And so if Jesus prayed when he walked on earth, and he's still praying now, even though he's been raised to the right-hand side of the Father, then how about us joining in with him? Like it matters, like it can change things. For it's only in prayer that we shall discover that God is faithful and active, and be able to say with confidence, as Paul does, Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or danger or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor demons nor present nor future nor any powers nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in King Jesus. At our baptism, we pray a certain prayer. As people come out of the water, we pray this over them. Fight valiantly, we say, as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil, and remain faithful to him for the rest of your lives. The good news is that the story of the Bible is a story of rescue, of redemption, of salvation. And we need this salvation. We need it from illness and disease, but also from sin and death. There's a battle going on for our hearts right now, for our minds and for our souls. There's a spiritual battle going on behind the scenes between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the principalities and powers of this dark age, as Paul puts it. And that's why we're encouraged to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we're taught to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's why we're taught to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because it's real. There's a battle going on. But we can be part of God's activity. We can volunteer ourselves to participate in this battle. We can volunteer to help the NHS or the powerless or the housebound, but we should also volunteer ourselves, conscript ourselves to the spiritual battle that's going on through intercession and through personal discipline, fighting against sin within and with action outside of ourselves. God is our Redeemer. Let's join him in the battle. We are known by him. We belong to him. We are his. He calls us mine. He has a photo of us in his wallet. He's concerned for us. Jesus is praying for us. The Spirit is groaning for us. He is caring for us. And so the promise builds. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. We all know about the waters, the rivers, the fire and the flame right now. Waters are dangerous. Rivers can sweep you away. Fires can devastate. Flames can destroy. But God is with us. And so we will not be overwhelmed. We will not be burned up or consumed. We are safe. We need to keep our eyes focused on the lines that I've made in bold in white. Not the grayed outlines. Too easily, we're distracted by the river or the waters. And we need to know that God is with us, that we won't be overwhelmed, that we will not be burnt and we won't be consumed. And this is one of the greatest gifts my faith is giving me at the moment. Giving my allegiance to Jesus isn't just something I do because I've come to see that Jesus is King and so deserves my obedience and submission. No, I also give it to him because I've come to believe in him, that I'm totally safe when I'm in him. I learnt it as a child. I learnt that I was safe in him when I was worried or upset. And I learnt it as a teenager and I learnt it as a young adult. I learnt it as a young father. And I'm learning it again today, that I'm safe in him, safe from the enemy, safe from the effect of death, and safe for eternity. Even if I lose everything, I am safe. This is the story of Moses facing the sea, or David facing Goliath, of Daniel facing the lions, of Jesus facing death, or of Paul facing the painful isolation of prison year after year. Every one of these heroes have faced the struggle, faced the waters, been caught up in the fire, but it was their faith, their faithfulness and trust that saw them through. You might want to read Hebrews 11 if you want, for some encouragement of those who've gone before us, full of faith. And who is this that we put our faith in? Who do we put our trust in? The three verses finish with these simple words, but powerful words. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Brothers and sisters, let us not become afraid. Let us revisit and regain our faith. Let us put our trust in God, the Creator, the one who calls us by name, the one who is with us, the one who redeems us and saves us and protects us, the one who is contending for us. And let us pray and battle and contend and intercede with thanksgiving in every circumstance. I think Ollie's going to play some music in the background. I want to finish by reading a couple of prayers that St. Paul prayed, two prayers from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, they're my go-to prayers when I don't know what to pray. And they're prayers for a community, like I pray for you. And so I'm just going to read them out, and I've got them in the Passion version. I've printed them out for you to read, and maybe in a while the music will come in the background. The music is of a song which a guy, I think it happened is that it was just a little refrain that someone started singing in the background while they were singing another song, and it just kind of grew. It was a song about how we fight battles. Well, how do we fight battles? We fight with worship. We fight with praying. So I'm going to read these out as maybe the music will come in the background. Paul prays, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of this calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his Holy One. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. And then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is come. And Ephesians 3. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the King, perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your inmost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you'll be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement and that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. You will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request your most unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen.